So, but anyway, we'll go ahead and get started. And Brother Carpenter, would you mind praying for us?
Sure, absolutely. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for loving us. We're so thankful again that at some point in time somebody reached out with the gospel to us. And I pray again that you give this class hour, help us see the importance again of reaching out to visitors in our church. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And then, what's your name again? Yeah.
Spencer.
Spencer, would you mind closing that door for me? Thank you. All right, so what we're talking about today is helping visitors find belonging in the church, kind of the idea of taking them from visitor to fruitful, productive church members that are involved, okay? And you could turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. I think it might be printed on your worksheet as well, but we're going to be looking at those couple of verses. And I'll bring it up there. I also have it on the screen. Now, the way that I do PowerPoints and notes and things like that is there's going to be blanks in your notes. And on my PowerPoint, not everything in my PowerPoint is something you'll have to write down. But if there's a blank, I'll have a note in the PowerPoint about it. And what you have to write in the blank is going to be bolded. So that'll help you a little bit, as just so that you know my methodology here. So let's go ahead and read John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. This is a fairly well-known passage of Scripture, and earlier today I was looking through some of the notes in the book, and I realized that during this same hour, Brother Stallings is teaching a class on the rootless fruit. And when I saw the title of his, and I knew kind of where I was going, I thought, oh no, we're going to be teaching the same thing. But then I looked through his notes a little bit in the book, and I said, oh no, I think we're safe. So he's going a little bit different direction. But I think we know basically what this is saying, but hopefully I can draw some things out that maybe make some sense in the context of what we're talking about. So the word abide means to remain. That's pretty easy. Jesus says that we are to remain in him. That gives the idea of staying, resting, not being in a hurry to go anywhere. We are to be with Christ. We are to be in him and stay with him. We're to abide. We're to remain with him. And he says that if we abide in him and he in us, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I see things in the Bible and my mind starts to think about the funniest possible scenario. So I think about a branch that's trying to get away from its vine. We know that's not going to happen. But I start to think, why would he be bringing this up? You know, a branch is not going to leave the vine. We're actually going to talk about that thought a little bit more later. So anyway, continuing on. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now, that word much, you know, it means abundant. It means plenteous. And that makes sense. I think that is the natural definition that we would think of when it comes to much. He says, you're going to bring forth much fruit. We think of a bunch of it, all right? But it doesn't only mean a bunch of fruit or a lot of fruit. It also means often. And I need to get better at advancing my slides here. So, much fruit means abundant or plenteous. It also means often or regularly. So, you don't just bear fruit, and you don't just bear a bunch of fruit one time, and then you're done. The context here, what this means as far as much fruit, means yes, lots of fruit, but then it's on a regular season. You bear much fruit, and then there comes a point where you got to pick the fruit and then grow some more fruit. And then it's a continual process of bearing fruit over and over and over again. But it doesn't just mean lots of fruit. And it doesn't just mean regularly or often. It also bears the definition of large and healthy. When it says much fruit, you see, Jesus isn't looking for a vine. And of course, the fruit on the vine are grapes, right? He's not looking for shrimpy little shriveled grapes. He's not looking for a large quantity and a often cycle of tiny little grapes that are no good to eat. He's looking for fruit that is plenteous, abundant, comes regularly, comes often, and when it comes, it's big and it's juicy and it's healthy. That's the kind of fruit that Jesus is interested in. And so when he says, the same bringeth forth much fruit, he's talking about all of those things. So as fruit-bearing Christians, we should keep that in mind, that we should be bearing fruit, we should be bearing plenteous fruit, regularly, and healthy fruit. And so, I think I said this already, but Jesus doesn't just want us to bear a lot of fruit. He wants us to bear healthy fruit. And there is probably one concise statement that I could give that would summarize this whole lesson, okay? And here it is. Our goal as a church is to reach new people for Christ and provide a church home that feeds them and helps them grow spiritually. I probably could just end it there and say, okay, now go and do that. But I've got several points underneath. Now, we all get visitors in our churches from time to time. Hopefully, we get them regularly. And people have nearly unlimited options of how to spend their time. And though the choices of churches aren't unlimited, there are still many options out there for those who are looking to check out a church. And the fact that they chose your church is an honor. And we should look at that when we get a visitor in the church. We should look at that and say, wow, this person, of all the things that they could be doing with their time, they came to my church. That is awesome. I am so glad that they came, and we need to treat them like an honored guest. They could have chosen to do any number of things with their limited time. They could have chosen to to go to any other church to visit, but they chose yours. And so, number one, we need to realize that visitors to our churches are our honored guests. And before I comment much on this, I'm going to give you the next point here. Our visitors are a gift from God. They're a gift from God. How many times has somebody visited a church and they walk through the door and they feel like nobody's talking to them and nobody's paying attention to them? And so maybe the sermon was good, maybe the service was enjoyable, but they were just sort of left on their own. And people, maybe they walk past and they say a quick hello. Maybe they walk past and they don't say anything. Maybe they walk past and they look right above their heads. You know how that is? And people visit and they're looking around, and just think about instances where you've been a visitor. Maybe it's in the church that you're at now. Maybe it's somewhere else, but where you were the only person you knew, or maybe the family you were with, and how uncomfortable is it? Now, for somebody like my wife, it's not really that uncomfortable, a little bit, but she's very much a people person, and so she can just sort of make friends no matter where she's at. It's more challenging for me because I'm just kind of like, okay, I don't know anybody, and you know, I don't know what I'm doing here. And so it's a help when somebody who's from there approaches and says, hey, I don't recognize you. Are you new here? Thanks for coming. What's your name? And they make you feel at home. And the thing is that if we realize that when visitors visit our churches, if we have the mentality of they're not an intruder, but they're a gift from God. God led them to your church for some reason. And so if you look at that like that and say, man, God led them here, God gave me something to give him. I guess this is the person I'm supposed to give to today. And so then you go to them and say, you know, maybe you feel uncomfortable too. You know, I am not a people person, but, and maybe you're not either. If you are a people person, maybe it's easier for you. But if you're not a people person, how hard is it to say, hi, my name is, you know what I mean? When we first started coming here, and, you know, super briefly, my story is I was in ministry for 10 years, and then I was out of ministry for 10 years. I was working a secular job. And then we came here just to be church members and to serve. God led us here. Long story. But God led us here, and then after being here for 1 year, Pastor asked me to come on staff, and so now I'm back in ministry, right? When we first came here, we didn't know anybody. Well, that's not true. We knew the Lales because my one son was taking piano lessons from them. But besides the Lales, we didn't know anybody. And I remember we walked in, and we were in a certain classroom, and it was just me and my wife and another man. And that man was shy. You could tell. And we were kind of awkward because we didn't know him. And he was awkward because he didn't know us. But he, as difficult as it might have been for him being shy, he came out of that shell enough to be kind to us and to make us feel welcome. And you know what? I could tell that it was uncomfortable for him, and so could my wife. And my wife and I talked about it later. We talked about the fact that it was obviously uncomfortable for him to come out of his shell and to greet us and to make us feel welcome, but the fact that he did that told us that he cared so much about us to do that, to put himself in an uncomfortable situation so that he could welcome us. And that's what we need to do when visitors come, because it makes your visitor feel welcomed and special. And if we have the mindset that, you know, this person is in my church because God led them here, and that is God's gift for our church today. They're our honored guests. They could have done anything else with their time, but they're here, then it might affect how we treat them when they come through the door. So now the next point, number two, we should connect with the visitor. And I've already kind of gone into this a little bit, but greet the visitor immediately. Now, there's many ways to do this, and it depends on your church and your people and your setup and so on and so forth. You might have parking lot greeters. Well, that's about as immediate as you can get, is to greet them in the parking lot. You might have people stationed at the doors. That's also pretty close to immediate. Maybe you've got a welcome desk. Maybe you've got people posted in certain places. However it works for you, find the quickest way that people can greet the visitors. And that type of thing doesn't happen by accident. It happens on purpose. You've got to say, you know what, we're going to have people come, and we need to make them feel welcome when they come, so we need to get a team of people, and you're going to be here, and you're going to be here, and you're going to be here, and this is your ministry, so that when people come, maybe you've got someone in the parking lot, and then at the door, you know, however it works out, but just make sure that they are greeted immediately. And next would be to be interested in them. To be interested in them is, you know, you're not just saying hi and blowing past them. You're not just about what you've got going on, but you actually stop. Do you probably have something going on? Probably do. But are they worth taking that minute or however long it is to stop and say, hey, you know, what is your name? And to not just do it out of a sense of duty, but to genuinely be interested in them. And so a friendly smile, a handshake, anything that would show that you're interested in them. Engaging in conversation without overwhelming them. Now, it can be easy. You gotta read them a little bit. If they seem like the point, the type of people where it's like, they just want someone to talk to, and the fact that you approach them, they kind of latch on to you, well, then you know you're not going to overwhelm them. But if it's somebody who's keeping themselves a little bit more, and maybe if you're rattling on because you genuinely mean well, but they almost want to be left alone a little bit, you just got to read them and do as they do. Just be friendly and make them feel comfortable. And if you sense that whatever you're doing might be overwhelming, just back off, and that's okay. Remember their names. I can be bad at this. You know, I can say, you know, my name is Brian, what's your name? And they tell me, and 45 seconds later, I'm like, what did you say your name was again? And, you know, but sometimes, at least I'm putting in the effort, right? And try to remember their names. I've got kids in junior church where some of them are new. And all the ones that have been there for a while, I know who they are. But the ones who are new, sometimes I struggle a little bit. And so my wife keeps the attendance list, and I'm like, hey, honey, who's that kid over there? You know, that type of thing. Well, there's this one boy in my junior church. His name is Nolan. Well, I find a way to remember that his name is Nolan, and it's because of Nolan Ryan, all right? And so I find these little tricks. You know, eventually I'll get to the point where I don't remember that his name is Nolan because of a pitcher, but that his name is Nolan because he's Nolan, right? And so just find those little mental tricks that you can use to make sure that you remember somebody's name. And remember the details that they share with you. You know, it can be really easy to be preoccupied and to have your mind on something else, and they could be talking to you. Maybe they're, they come in and you just learn their name, and maybe they feel burdened and they start to tell you a prayer request, something that's going on in their life. And you're thinking about dinner that's happening in a couple of hours, right? Or you're thinking about something else. And then we don't really listen. We're not really looking at them in the eyes. We're not really listening to what they have to say. It's almost like a, yeah, let me get on to what I'm doing. I did my job of making you feel welcome. Well, did you? If you're not engaging with them and making them feel welcome and listening to what they have to say, then no, you're probably not doing the job of making them feel welcome. So really listen to them and remember details. If they say they like a certain sports team or a certain place to go to eat or whatever, try to remember those things along with their names. The simple act of remembering details about a person you have just met will convey to them that you value them and consider them important. You know, it's... I think Brother Wilkerson said this quote, and this isn't in my notes, but and we've all heard it. People don't want to, they don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care, right? You've got to show people that you care about them, and it's that they're not just a number, they're not just a checkbox, but that you actually care. And when you do care, you know, you'll remember their name, or if you forget, you'll ask them again, and you'll remember things that they say. Here's a quote by a great hero of the faith. You never get a second chance to make a first impression, right? We've all heard that one. When people approach your property and enter your buildings, what they see and experience speaks volumes about how much you value our Lord and the privilege of worshiping in His house. You know, and some of this can go to, you know, are the buildings neat and clean? Is there garbage on the floor? Is there anything out of place? You know, we should make sure that the church house is in good order so that when people come through the doors, they don't say, oh, wow, what a pigsty. You know, that's a bad testimony, and that is part of their first impression. So along with making them feel welcome, we want to make sure that we have a place to welcome them to. There isn't a lot of love today in today's secular culture. Right. And when guests experience the genuine love of Christ flowing from the church family, it creates a powerful first impression. And so we want to make sure that, you see, the things that I've been saying about, you know, remember their name, remember things about them, I'm not trying to make it sound like a used car sales pitch type of a thing. And if we're not careful, we can turn it into that. We have to make sure that we remember that, you know, these are people, just like you're a people, right? And you have feelings, you have things that you think, and so do they. You know when people are being fake with you, they're going to know if you're being fake with them. Yeah. And so we want to make sure that we're being genuine and that we are really caring about the people. And it's not a fake fleshly front, but really it ought to be the love of Christ flowing through us to that person. And they are feeling welcomed because of the love of Christ. And that ultimately comes to a greeter, whether your position is greeter or not, but that you've got the love of Christ flowing through you to that person. Number three, we need to connect them with the church. Connect them with the church. In order to do that, and I can pass this around so that you guys can look at it, but this is something that we give to our guests, and it's been a progress over time how we've come to this. We didn't always give all these things. We've given some of these things, and it's kind of grown over time. But, you know, and you'll see what I mean, but in a packet, a visitor packet, there's information about the church. There's a visitor card where they can fill out their name, and that is a low-pressure way for them to share contact. You know, you don't have to be like, so what's your name? Pull out your phone and create a contact. And then they feel awkward, like, oh, great, now this guy's going to call me. But they can put it on the card and give it to the welcome desk or put it in the offering plate or however you want to receive that back. For our visitor packs, we provide a pen. There's also a gift card. Please, nobody take the gift card, okay? And so I'll pass this around. You can just kind of see. There's also... I got the idea for the book when I was out of town this summer. We went to a church, and they were giving away these books by Paul Chappell. And it's a book about the gospel. It's only something like 75 or so pages long. The pages are small. It's a pretty easy read. And that the book, along with the tract, are two gospel witnesses that we put in their hands upon visiting, along with a brochure that tells them just a little bit about the church and the pen. And you know, who doesn't like a donut or something from Dunkin', right? So stuff like that. And it's a kind gesture. And if you're, maybe you don't have the authority in your church to say, we're going to start doing this. Well, maybe you could ask your pastor, if you're not doing something like this, to maybe start doing something like this, because it is a help. And along with that, and I'll just let you look at that as that goes around. And maybe you're not the person who gives out the visitor packets. Like at our church, we've got the welcome desk, and we keep them in there. And so you can either give it to them or point them to the place where they can get it. And also, along with that, is be helpful and explanatory. Being helpful is so important, and all you've got to do is think about when you've needed help. And so often, for me anyway, it's when I go to a store. You know, you're at a store, and sometimes it can be a store that you're very familiar with, but you just don't know where it is, right? And in this day and age, there are stores that have apps, and if you don't know where something is, you can search it, and it'll tell you the aisle and so on and so forth. But sometimes you just need help. And I remember, you know, it's going to date me, but, you know, like 25, 30 years ago, I worked at a grocery store, okay? And people would come, and it would always drive me nuts when somebody would ask for something, and one of my coworkers would just be like, oh, yeah, it's over there. And he'd give him a general, it's like 3 hours over on top, blah, 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 blah. And he wouldn't help them. Now, I've been in situations like that where people give me those kind of directions, and it's frustrating because it's like, wait, I go, where? Yeah, okay, so I get in the general area, and then what do I have to do? I have to find another worker. Okay, so I'm looking for this, and then finally I get somebody to show me where it is. But then sometimes you find that worker at the store that goes just a little bit out of their way, and you say, excuse me, I'm looking for the paper towels. And what they do is they drop everything, and they say, oh, here, I'll show you. And they don't tell you an aisle number. They don't tell you a location on the shelves. They walk you there, and they say, here it is. And that's the kind of helpful that we should be in our churches. You know, I remember, again, when we first came here, now the layout of the buildings is super simple to me, right? But when I first came, it was kind of like, wait a minute, where does this hallway lead? It does this, what do I do? And there was one point we found ourselves walking. It's like, wait, maybe it's this way. And we didn't know where we were going, right? And so it doesn't matter how much like home your church feels to you. To a new person, it's going to feel a little bit overwhelming. They're going to say, wait, where's the nursery? Where's the Sunday school class? You know, where's the bathroom? You know, all these sorts of things. And so be accommodating and helpful, not just like, oh, it's around the corner to your left and then down the hall. Take the extra couple of minutes and say, here, I'll show you, and walk with them. And then that can be an opportunity to talk with them a little bit further and get to know them a little bit more. Number four, the next way we want to connect them, you know, we have connected them with ourselves. We've connected with the visitor, and we've connected them to the church, and now we want to connect them relationally. Relationally. And what does that mean? That basically means that you've gotten to know them a little bit, you've connected with them yourself, but now it's time to connect them with somebody else. Introduce the visitor to others in the church. The more personal relationships that they can establish, the more that they'll feel that they belong. The more personal relationships in the church that they can establish, the more they'll feel that they belong. When I was a teenager, I was in a church in my hometown. As close as I live to here now, when I was a teenager, I lived closer to my church. I was about a block and a half away from my church at that point. And on a nice day, we would walk. So that was pretty cool. But we went through a little bit of a change, and my pastor was called to another pastorate in Michigan, and so he left, and we got a new guy, and the guy seemed okay. I did not grow up as an independent fundamental Baptist, but I did grow up as an independent fundamental Bible-believing Christian. Okay, so the church I grew up in was very similar to this one, just a little different in a couple of things. Not very much at all. So essentially, I'm in the same kind of church that I've always been in. And so my pastor that moved to Michigan, he was a fundamental man. He was a good man, great pastor. He moved on. We got the next guy in, and he started trying to change things. He was trying to change the music. He was changing Bible versions and bringing in ecumenical stuff. And it was not good. And being a teenager, you know, and I'm not disparaging teenagers, but I didn't know things. How was I supposed to know? I hadn't learned yet. I learned from my parents, and my parents, you know, Sunday afternoon at dinner around the table, my mom and dad were going back and forth about, I can't believe he's doing this, and what's going on here, and I can't believe all the ecumenical stuff. And I'd say, what does ecumenical mean? Well, that means, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's no good. And so as a result, we left the church, and we were trying to find another church. We went to a couple different churches trying to find a new church home that would better suit us. And there's this one church in particular that we went there, and it seemed like a good place. But when we went in, the pastor was nice to us. And me specifically, the youth pastor was nice to me. And, you know, now I'm thinking more about youth group because I don't know specifically how my parents were treated. But in the youth group, there were a couple of teenagers that made me feel welcome. But it was a pretty big church, so I wasn't totally used to that. The church I grew up in was smaller, 100 people or so, maybe less. This church was a few hundred. And so I go to this youth group that's got like 30 kids, 40 kids, and I've got the youth pastor who can't just sit there and talk to me the whole time because he's got to minister to everybody. And I've got a couple of kids that would talk to me some, but they also had other friends, so they wouldn't sit with me the whole time. There were plenty of times where, and the format of it was that Sunday school started off kind of open, where people, you know, there were snacks, and people would mill around and talk and hang out for a bit, and then they would call everybody together and have some songs and then have the lesson. So there's all this, you know, like half of Sunday school where I'm sitting there and people are talking and I'm trying to talk to people. But like I've already said, I've always been kind of an introvert. So as much as I might try, it's like, I don't know. At some point I'm done trying, right? So then I got my donut. I'm sitting there, I'm eating it, and I'm waiting for things to start, and I'm not talking to anybody, nobody's really talking to me. And you know, we didn't last very long at that church. People just, they were cliquish. You know, they had their groups, and they weren't really willing to expand and let other people in. And that's not how we want to be. We want to make everybody feel welcome. And you know what? If you have a clique, then open it up. And just say, hey, you know what? Hey, you want to be part of my clique? Come on in. And then, of course, at that point, it's not a clique anymore, right? So we've got to make visitors feel welcomed and established, not just with you, but with more people. And the more they feel that they know a few different types of people, the more that they'll feel that they belong. And so along with this, introducing a visitor to others in the church, you can help them to find a Sunday school class or a small group. And, that goes along with some other things I've already said about being helpful and so forth. Maybe there are people that have come here where I might say, you know, I might think, yeah, I think maybe they ought to go to pastor's Sunday school class, except that they have a hard time walking. So I'll say, maybe don't go to pastor Sunday school class because that's a further walk. Maybe you'll go here instead. So either way, I try to accommodate and be helpful and take them to a place. We've got a couple of ladies that ride our bus. One is an older lady that has knee problems, and she's fairly new. She's been coming for maybe 4 or 5 months. And then we've got another lady that comes who just, she's not as old, but has a lot of health problems and also has trouble walking. Well, both of them, we dropped them off by that overhang off the main auditorium, and I advise both of them, go to the auditorium class. That's not pastor's class, it's somebody else's class, but it's a much easier walk. Because the one lady, the older lady at first, what we were doing is we would drop her off at that door, somebody would get our wheelchair that we have in the closet, and then they'd wheel her across the building and then wheel her back, and we're happy to do those things. But it's easier for her over here, and she likes that class. And so it's just a matter of just be helpful and try to read the needs and accommodate the best that you can. And the best way of doing that, of course, is to be a Spirit-filled Christian, right? Be yielded to the Holy Spirit and ask for God's help as you help others. Ask for God to reveal what people's needs are and help you. Ask for God to help you to be perceptive to those needs so that you can help them appropriately. But help them find a Sunday school class. And next way to connect with them relationally is someone, doesn't have to be you, but someone could invite the visiting family to dinner. Inviting them to a meal, whether it's at your house or at a restaurant, doesn't really matter. It's a way for church members to extend a friendly hand to the visitor outside the walls of the church building. That's very important because then they feel like that it's a church family, not just a church group. And that church happens outside these walls, not just inside these walls. And connecting the visitor relationally should be seen as a ministry. So even inviting them to go to Taco Bell after church, yes, that's a ministry. In fact, I remember I mentioned a little bit ago how that I was in ministry for a while and then I went into secular work for a while. When we went to the church that we were in, it's been 13 years ago now, we were in a church in Highland, okay? And we were brand new there. And we, you know, a lot of the same things I just told you. We didn't know people, but they were gracious. They were friendly. We stayed there for 10 years, so they did something right. And I remember we had only been there 2 or 3 weeks, and the pastor's son, who was an assistant pastor there, he was also one of the Sunday school teachers. And one Sunday night, he just says, "Hey, Brother Brian, what are you doing after church tonight?" And I said, "Just going home. I don't know, probably throwing a frozen pizza or something and warm that up." And he says, "Well, if you don't have anything really going on, do you want to go out to eat after church?" I said, "Sure." And I looked at my wife and she says, yeah, we could do that. And he even paid for us, which, I mean, I was going to pay, but he offered to pay. And I think he regretted it later because I've got, at the time, 3 sons. And, you know, when we go to Taco Bell, we got those big, you know, taco packs and stuff. And so he had little kids and he's looking at the food that my kids are consuming. His eyes get big and he's just like, "Whoa." And, but you know what it was? It was a great time of fellowship. And we got to know he and his wife better, and they were telling stories about how they met and what they do in the church and just talking about kids and, you know, all the stuff that happens when you have kids. And we were fellowshipping. And it made us feel connected to him, which in turn made us feel connected to the church. And it was a good time. And you might say, ministry? You know, taking somebody out to dinner is a ministry? You know, I'm not knocking on doors and I'm not conducting a service and I'm not taking attendance or doing whatever. This is a ministry? Yeah, it's a ministry. And it can absolutely be considered a ministry to say, "Hey, you've been coming here a couple weeks. What are you doing after church? You want to go out to eat? Let's go. Or you want to come over to our house?" Or whatever the case might be. But that could be a really good way to connect with people and make them feel connected in relationships within your church. Along with the idea of connecting people relationally being a ministry, ushers, greeters, and honestly, all church members should pray for the visitors they'll potentially meet in the services. So, you know, how oftentimes do, you know, we're getting ready on Sunday morning, you know, kids are flying around the house, there's clothes and shoes flying everywhere, it's like trying to get out on time, you're yelling at each other in the car, you know, because you're trying to get there and so on and so forth. You figure that a Sunday school teacher has to prepare their lesson, right? The pastor's got to prepare his sermon. There's other preparations that need to go on. Junior church, bus, all those sorts of things involve preparation. Well, here's something that everybody in the church can prepare by, all right? Visitors. You can prepare, you can spend time with the Lord and say, "Lord, somebody's potentially going to visit our church today. Would you allow me to bump into them? Would you allow me to meet them and talk to them and befriend them and be a help to them so that I can show them your love? And maybe you can use me to do that," and just pray before church and see how the Lord might be able to use you in that way. Next, number 5. Oh, I almost forgot this, okay? Not all visitors are saved people. Many will be lost and need to hear the gospel. Yes. And establishing a relationship with the visitor helps till the ground so that they can receive the gospel. And, you know, so oftentimes, you know, we might think that a visitor is somebody that's maybe they're already saved, and that does happen a lot, but there's going to be people who visit church that are not saved. Or maybe they're brand new Christians. Either way, this thing of connecting them relationally, it helps till the ground for further growth later on. So number 5, connect them to opportunities. And right off the bat, I want to say this is most appropriate after the visitor's been coming for at least a couple of weeks, because you don't want them to come in the door and immediately say, hey, we got a spot for you right now. you want to give them time to acclimate. And so give it a couple of weeks, let them come for a little bit, and then see about plugging them in somewhere. And a good place to start would be the discipleship program. At our church, we make discipleship a part of Sunday school. And so the way we do it is if somebody's going through the program, they have a person that they're paired up with, you know, the discipler and the disciplee, and they will meet together in a room and they'll talk about the curriculum. And basically the way it works is the person being discipled has their book and they've gone through it a little bit throughout the week. And then they meet with their discipler on Sunday morning at the beginning of Sunday school, and they ask questions and they go over stuff, and you know, it might be a quick 10-minute thing or it might take the whole hour. I've heard of all that stuff. But then after discipleship, what they do is then they break from that and then they go into whatever Sunday school class that they're in. So that's how we do it. Everybody does things differently. However your church does discipleship, by all means, do it the way that works for you. But discipleship is a great first way to get a new person involved. And another thing that doesn't really need very much, they don't need to know all the ins and outs to do this next thing is, but invite them to go soul winning with you. You know, and you're going to get this a lot, and I'm sure you have, where people say, well, I don't know how to witness to people. I don't know how to knock on a door. I don't know how to, you know, and that's fine. Then just say, well, look, you don't have to go with me, but if you'd like to have the opportunity to be involved with people getting saved, you could just come with me. You don't have to say a thing. You know, the silent partner, right? They could pray while you do the talking. And but it could be a good way for you to get to know them. You can talk to them in between houses. You can talk to them on the car ride over. And that's a way that a new person doesn't have to be completely plugged into the church yet, but they could do this. And here's another thing, is to invite them to help with a task or an event. And these would be things that are like one-offs, or maybe once a year type of a thing, where they're not doing it every Sunday or on some regular basis. It's just as needed. And Pastor Allen makes me laugh so often, because there were some things that we've had going on lately where we had some people involved in a certain way, and Pastor would say, oh, there you go. There's an example for your class. You know, there's an illustration for your session. It's just like, okay, Pastor, I get it. So, but, you know, to that tune here, we had some things lately. We had a community picnic at the end, what was it? The end of September, okay? And we basically took our church picnic, and we started this last year, and we opened it up to the community. We used to have it back here in the backyard, and instead, the last couple of years, we've been having it up in the parking lot and the grass around there right off the road. And things like bounce house and dunk tank and other games set up, and the food and tents, you know, all that sort of thing. And it's been a good thing. We've had several visitors. This year we had people visit the community picnic and then come to church the very next day. And so we've seen some good things from that. But I needed help. I couldn't do the whole thing myself. You know, I had several game stations where I needed somebody to run and operate a game. There was the bounce house. I needed an adult to watch the kids. We had a dunk tank. I needed somebody to watch that and keep people in line, hand them the balls, all that sort of thing. I needed somebody to grill hamburgers. I needed people to work in the kitchen. You know, so all these things and other duties that I'm probably not even thinking of right now. And there were some specific roles that I was like, okay, I know who I'm going to put here. So there's a man in our church. He's been coming for about a year. And honestly, he fairly recently got saved. I think within the last 6 months he got saved. And he's been, you could tell he's hungry. He wants to get involved. He wants to be a blessing. I don't even think they've joined the church yet. But they've been coming pretty faithfully. And so my thought was, okay, this guy, I know for a fact that he can grill and he enjoys grilling. And so, look, I know they're frozen burgers, and I know they're just ballpark hot dogs. It's like, but he likes grilling. And so I says, hey, would you be my grill master that day? And he was like, yeah, I'll do it. And I said, that's going to be busy. You know, you might be slaving behind this grill like all day. He says, no, it's fine. I'll do it. And he did, and he was. He did it, and he was there all day. But he enjoyed it. And it gave him an opportunity to serve in a capacity. He's not a member yet, so he hasn't gone through like the whole background check thing and everything. And so we can't put him in children's ministry, but you know what he could do? He could grill burgers for our community picnic. And then everybody that came, so think about this. I said that we had some people come to the picnic that also came to church. The people that came to church Sunday, and the trail went cold for me after that. I don't know, did they get saved or anything like that? But at the very least, these people came to church Sunday because they came to the community picnic Saturday. And part of that is my friend who did the grilling had a part in that because he provided food.
Yeah.
And so if there's any rewards in heaven for those people, my friend, the guy that grilled, has some of those rewards. And also, Valparaiso has a popcorn festival because Orville Redenbacher is from Valparaiso, Indiana. And so every year they've got this festival. They close down the downtown. Everybody sets up these pop-up tents, and there's food and vendors and all that sort of thing. And this is the second year in a row that we set up a tent and we gave out free popcorn. And the free popcorn had a flyer on the front of the bag that had a gospel witness on the flyer. And so we needed lots of people to sign up and help. Well, we have a lady and her son that are pretty new in the church. I mean, I don't think they've been coming 2 months, but they came to the popcorn fest and they helped. And they were helping with the popcorn machine. They were helping hand out popcorn. And anybody that got a bag of popcorn and received the gospel and got saved as a result of that, the people doing the work behind the scenes, you know, with the popcorn machines and handing things out, those people will have rewards in heaven for helping those people. And so what is this? This is an opportunity to get people who are not fully plugged in. They're not members yet, maybe, but they can have a way to serve. They can have a way to feel involved and a way to feel like they belong. Also, just last Saturday, we had a church work day. You know, it's somebody said to me, it's the whole idea of, you know, having the work day before the seminar, the idea of, hey, honey, let's have people over to dinner so we can clean the house, right? And so, but we had some people come to this work day, and they were, some of them stayed way longer than I thought they would have. I mean, some stayed all day. And some of these people that stayed a long time and did a lot of work, like hard work, were people that haven't been coming very long. Or some of them have, and they're just not members yet. We had a rather tough job with the bus. Our bus has seats that are, some of them are kind of ripped. You know, we got the bus used and so forth. Well, we got replacement seat covers. They're licensed, genuine, 100%. Am I running tight on time here?
Yes, sir. Sorry, I had to teach another session.
So okay. What time are we over? I think the book says. Can I see your, just real quick?
1:45.
1:45? All right. I am over, and I apologize for that. Unfortunately, I've got to call it quits. But hopefully that was a blessing to you.
Yeah.
And you are dismissed. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.